Thank you for joining Temple Baptist Church as Pastor Brady Martin preaches on a new series called Imagine a Church. Join us as we look to the future of Temple Baptist Church and that its best days are ahead of us.
We've recently begun a new series called Imagine a Church. And we're really excited about this series and that we're looking at, and we're asking the question, not how do we imagine the church to be, but how does Jesus imagine his church to be? Because the most important thing for the future of Temple Baptist Church is not how you imagine church to be, nor even how I imagine church should be. The most important thing is how Jesus imagines his church to be. We as a church want to be the people and want to be the church that Christ wants to make us. And so we're asking the question in this series, imagine a church. How does Jesus imagine his church to be? And we're continuing that this morning. I'll never forget the day that we pulled up to the country club. My dad and I parked and began to unload the golf cart. We had just purchased a golf cart and we were taking it off the trailer and pulling it into the little storage unit that we had just rented. You see, something had changed at the country club because they had changed their rules. You see, we lived about 20 miles away from the country club in the next county over. And they changed the rules about the country club. You see, we could never afford to be a member of the country club, but they changed the rules this way. They said, if you live in the next county over, you get a deeply discounted rate to try to boost their numbers. And they thought we wouldn't go that much if we lived out of the county. And so it was actually about 1/10 of the normal country club cost. And my dad, who was always looking for a deal, decided if it's discounted, we should join the country club. And so we did. We bought a golf cart. And that Christmas, I was 10 years old. I'd gotten a junior golf club set, and I'd been practicing outside and in the house, you know, when you're not supposed to and all of that. And I was really excited. And so we went, and we took the cart off and all of that. And eventually, I would grow up with my dad playing golf there for many years. And some of my greatest memories are there with him on that golf course. But the thing I remember about that was that day we pulled up to unload that golf cart for the first time, I began looking out. We pulled up to the clubhouse. And beside the clubhouse, there were pools and tennis courts. And I began to wonder, do we get to use all of this stuff? I mean, can we use the pool? Can we use the tennis courts? And I said, Dad, is this all available to us? He says, yes, it all is part of the privileges of being a member. We've purchased a membership. Now we can do all of these things. And I was pretty excited. A smile came to my face because now I knew somehow we were in. We were members of the country club, even if it was at a discounted rate. We were somebody. I remember once even we saw some people who were guests there at the country club playing golf. And I remember the pride of saying, oh, we're not guests. We're members. And so the thing about the country club was we had privileges. Pool privileges, tennis court privileges, golf course privileges. People were even there to serve us, to help us with our stuff, and to make sure we had a great time. There were perks of being a member of the country club. And that was my first introduction to membership. My second was the local church. The problem was, my understanding of the two weren't that different. My understanding of church membership was very similar to country club membership. I mean, church membership came with certain special privileges, and the leaders were there to serve us and to help us make sure we had a great time every week. Church membership was often no different than the country club mentality. For other people, church membership really doesn't mean anything. It's an antiquated concept with no contemporary use. For others, it's just a way to keep track of people and put people on a roll. Some feel like you have to join a church to have a status in the community. Others shop around different churches to see which they can get the most for their money. So church membership is something It's very confusing to many people in our culture. But these ideas of church membership, of the country club, the shopping around for it, antiquated concept, or joining just to be somebody in the community, are nothing like the Bible's understanding of church membership. They have no similarities to what the Bible says about church membership. And so as you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27, I want to encourage you to imagine with me this morning. Will you imagine a church where membership means more than just being on a church roll? Imagine a church where membership means more than just being on a church roll. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. And some of y'all are like, what is a church roll? Are y'all serving those after the service today? All right, so, yeah, Texas Roadhouse in Sherman. You can get them there. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Here's what the Word of God says. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffers together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. What a powerful passage. What a beautiful passage about the body of Christ. But we live in a culture that is low commitment. We live in a culture of low commitment. You can see this from the way it works with dating relationships, but you can also see it the way it works in churches. We have people who like to attend and date the church, but never really take the plunge and get married. You see, even when we have sign-up sheets, we don't have problems getting people to come to events, but we have people, it's hard to get y'all to sign up for stuff. Like, we all know this is true, right? And so, because what happens is, we all want to keep our options open. Do you want to come to this? Oh, yeah, I think I do. Well, would you like to sign up? Well, I'm not so sure because something else might come up that I need to change my plans. We live in a low commitment culture. We are a low commitment people. That's just the world we live in. So in a culture where people don't like commitment and people are confused about church membership, what are we to do? Well, my goal this morning is that we take a closer look at what the Bible says about church membership. So let's imagine a church where membership meant more than just being on a church roll. And I want to notice three things this morning. The first, importance of membership. The second, the attitude of membership. And third, the expectations of membership. So the importance, the attitudes, and expectations of membership. So let's begin in the importance of membership this morning. Why is membership important? First, because it's biblical. Because it's biblical. It's biblical. Church membership is the presupposition of the book of Acts and all of the epistolary literature, the letters in the New Testament. But if you think of church membership as just being on a church roll, then you're not going to understand the way that the New Testament speaks of membership because it doesn't think of it as just being on a church roll. Because you have to have an understanding of what a church is. Temple Baptist Church and this, a church, is not a building. It's not an idea. It's not a memory. The church is its members, and the members are the church. The church is the members, and the members are the church. You see, Temple Baptist Church is not this building. If this building were to burn down tomorrow, Temple Baptist Church would still be alive and thriving. It's not just an idea of, well, what is temple? Well, what temple is to me is this. Well, no. Temple Baptist Church is the members, and the members are the church. There was no concept in the New Testament of the church being anything other than the members who made it up. And so the whole New Testament assumes that when you say the church in Ephesus, the church in Galatia, the church in Corinth, that we're saying that there are members there who have covenanted together to be the people of God there in that city. And you see, that church is not a building. That church is not an idea. That church is made up of people, members. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. It's showing you that membership is important here. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. It says, remember your leaders. Not remember all leaders, but particularly your leaders. Because it's saying that leaders have a particular people, and people have particular leaders. The idea is, the presumption is that there is local church membership with local church leaders. And so we see as the presupposition here, even in the book of Hebrews. We see the same thing in 1 Corinthians 5:11-13. But now I'm writing to you, not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, a reviler, drunkard, or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? It is not those inside the church whom is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those who are on the outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Now, there's a lot going on in that passage, but one thing is clear, that there is a clear distinction and division between those in Corinth who are on the inside of the church and those who are on the outside. Those members and those who are not members. He's saying you have responsibility uniquely over the members and their lives that you don't over the people out there. There's a clear distinction here. Membership shows us, first it says we are members of the body, and then it shows us that we have particular leaders and particular communities, and then it's saying, look, there's a division between you and the world. Church membership is that division. And so we see that it's biblical. You see, churches are embassies of heaven here on earth. Did you know that your citizenship in heaven is far more important than your citizenship in America or any other country? Because one lasts. It's biblical. So it's important because it's biblical. Second, it's important because it identifies the sheep. It identifies the sheep. The Bible often refers to the local church as the sheep or the flock, and often refers to the pastor as the shepherd or the under-shepherd of the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Church membership allows the shepherds, the pastors, to know which sheep they are responsible for. Can you imagine showing up to a Little League baseball tournament? Say there's 25 teams, and they all wear the same uniform. And there are 25 teams, they all go out in the field, and 25 coaches get together, and they say, all right, well, you go coach, and y'all just go have a great time. There'd be confusion, right? Because the players are like, well, which coach do we listen to? Well, this one's telling me to stand this way, and the other one's telling me to stand this way. This one's telling me to bunt this way. They don't know who to listen to, and the coaches don't know who to coach. There's just people all out in the field. No teams. The coaches are confused, and often that's what churches are without church membership. You don't know which people belong to which church, which people belong to which pastor, and the pastor doesn't know which people he's called to care for. And you end up with a church that's like a field often without church membership that doesn't rightly identify the sheep. You see, as pastors, we are not called to pastor the entire town of Gainesville and Cook County. We are called to pastor the people and the members of Temple Baptist Church. Here's what Hebrews 13:17 says. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Your pastors will give an account to God for you. And we have to know who we're to give an account for. So membership rightly identifies the people that we are called to shepherd. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. So I exhort the elders among you. The elders here doesn't mean older people necessarily. It means those who are pastors, shepherds. Same word, an idea there. And as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock. It assumes local church membership. Shepherd the flock. There's a people, there's a group together that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. You see, it's important, church membership's important because it's biblical. It's also important because it rightly identifies the sheep. It rightly identifies to your pastors who we are called to serve. You see, if you're not a church member, we are not your pastors. We'd like to be, but that's not our calling. We're called to shepherd the sheep that are a part of Temple Baptist Church who are members. And so we would love for you to be a member of that. But it rightly identifies the sheep. So we see the importance of membership, but second, I want us to see the attitude of membership this morning. The attitude of membership. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a bad attitude. Now, none of y'all probably ever have a bad attitude, but it happens to me particularly when we get ready to go on a trip or when we get ready to go like on a long day somewhere and things aren't going well. We can't get all the kids around. We get to the train and forget that we left something that's essential and have to go back. And then the next time we come back, the train's already back and we're stuck again. And I get frustrated and I get upset and I get a bad attitude and I have a hard time breaking out of it. It's just hard because I think the day is ruined. We've wasted time, all of these things. And I just can't get out of the cycle. But usually after a couple of hours of me moping and being sad and being a terrible husband and dad and just driving and being quiet and all of that and getting where we need to go, my attitude finally changes. And I finally decide, you know what? It ain't worth being upset about, and I'm going to have a good day, and I'm going to have a good time, and my attitude improves. But I know none of y'all ever have that problem, right? Sometimes, though, as church members, sometimes we need an attitude adjustment, too. Sometimes we need to have our attitudes brought back in line. And so this morning, I want to look at a couple of attitudes of church members, the attitude of healthy membership. First attitude of a healthy member is that they are a contributor, not just a consumer. A contributor instead of a consumer. Now, I like Burger King, but their slogan, "Have it your way," is not the greatest candidate for a church mission statement. Have it your way is not the essence of church membership. That's an essence of a consumer, not a contributor. You see, church members aren't customers. And pastors aren't dispensers of religious services, but they are instead those called to care for your soul. Therefore, is the role of pastors of our church to care more for your holiness than your happiness and more about your growth than your comfort. We are called one day to give an account to God for you, and our account is not on how happy were you, how well of a customer were you served, but our account to give to God is, did they become fully mature followers of Jesus? And that is our goal. And so we are called to be contributors, not consumers. And if you're a member of Temple Baptist Church, it is because God has placed you here because we need you to contribute to the mission. God chose to put you here because of his plan and your unique gifting to play the part that he wants you to play. Everyone can and must play their part if we're going to be the church that Jesus wants us to be. But the church in America often isn't so much the attitude of contributor, but more of consumer. Here's how Jonathan Lehman says it. He says, for some, church membership is more about receiving than giving, and more about coming than going, and more about being served than serving. That stings a little bit. In America, there are a lot of people who visit churches to find the right type of music, the right programming for their kids, the right type of pastor, the right fit of a small group, the right kind of classes. And if they don't have what they're looking for, they'll just go shopping again next week. But we will never grow into what God intends for us as individuals or as a church with a consumer mentality that says, well, if you don't do what I like, well, then I'll just take my business elsewhere. That's not what church members do. That's not the attitude of church members. That's the attitude of customers and consumers. But we aren't called to be consumers. We're called to be contributors. That's why the Bible says we're members, not customers. And so we see here the attitude is contributor, not just a consumer. Tom Rainer, in his book, I'm a Church Member, that we're encouraging you to read and take this challenge, here's what he says in that book. He says, so if we approach church membership from the perspective of entitlement, we have it upside down. You always ask first what you can do for your church. I think about John F. Kennedy, right? And John F. Kennedy, in his famous speech, he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Maybe we should apply that to the church. Ask not what the church can do for you, but what can you do for the church? Contributor, not consumer. That's the first attitude of a healthy church member. But the second is that it prioritizes people over preferences. Prioritizes people over preferences. Here's what John 13:35 says. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The proof that your church is genuine and real is not how great your music is. It's not how great your preacher is. It's not about how great your building is. The proof of God at work in your church is that your people and your members love one another. What a powerful thing. I love our name, Temple, because it means the place where God's Spirit resides. But you know this building is not a temple. And sometimes we get caught up in showing respect for a building. Don't bring a drink inside. Don't wear this. Don't wear that. But what we miss is that this building is not holy. It is a building made with human hands. God does not live in here. But do you know where God's Spirit lives? Do you know where God's Spirit has taken up residence? Do you know where God's temple is? Because they're sitting to your left and to your right this morning. Those believers who sit here this morning to your left and to your right, the Bible says that they are the temple of God. They are the place where the Spirit has taken up residence. They are the place where God lives in this world, and it's in them. And sometimes we show more respect for brick and mortar than we do the people sitting to our left and to our right. Are we treating the people beside us with the reverence and dignity and respect that they deserve as a holy temple of God? The goal isn't to devalue the building, but to value people around us more. You see, this is why Jesus doesn't say, you'll know them by their building, but instead he says, you will know them by their love for one another. What an important thing he says there. And so this morning, we have members who have all kinds of preferences. People who like to dress up for church. People who like to dress down for church. We have people who like older music, newer music, and combinations. We have people who like it 68 degrees, and we have people who like it 78 degrees. But if any of that gets into the way of loving the person who is a temple of the holy God who is sitting beside you, you might need an attitude adjustment. If we don't prioritize people over preferences, then people will not know us as a genuine church and will not know us for our love for one another. Because, you see, there's nothing more heartbreaking than people letting preferences get in the way of loving their brothers and sisters. When we do that, what we're saying is, my fashion preferences matter to me more than you matter to me. My music preferences matter more to me than you matter to me. When we let our preferences get in the way of loving people who are the temple of God in our church family, we need an attitude adjustment. John 13:35. By this all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So we've seen the importance of church membership. We've seen the attitude of church membership. And lastly, we want to see the expectations of membership. The expectations of membership. In Chuck Lawless's book on church membership, he says that one of the things that members who go through a new members class say that they would really like and they would like to know more about is, what's expected of me as a member? What's expected of me as a member? But I think everyone really would like to know that. And so this morning, I want to make it as clear as possible of what we expect of our church members. And that's clear. We expect every member to be an involved member. We expect every member to be an involved member. Every member to be an involved member. You see, just because you have a gym membership doesn't mean you're in shape. Nor does it mean they'll even recognize you when you show up at the gym. And just because your name's on a roll doesn't make you an involved church member. And it doesn't make you healthy either. So what does it mean to be an involved church member? Tom Rainer in that same book says this. He says, the concept of an inactive church member is an oxymoron. Basically, no such church member really exists. So how can you be an involved church member? Well, I've given you an easy way to remember it. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. And before I dive into this, I want you to know there are exceptions. I understand that there are seasons of life and things going on in people's lives where these things can always be the case, but these are general rules, not legalistic things, but general rules of what it means to be an involved church member. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. First, spend an hour a week in Sunday morning worship, an hour of worship. You spend an hour a week in Sunday morning worship. Now, I know it's like an hour and 15, and sometimes with me, an hour and 20 minutes, right? I get it. But we're rounding down today. All right, so an hour of worship. An hour of worship. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Whether you go to church each Sunday morning should not be a conversation where you look over at your spouse and say, you want to go today? You shouldn't ask your kids, y'all want to go to church today? It should be the assumption of your family that if it's Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. And if it's Sunday, it's time for worship. There is nothing more important that you can teach your kids than if it's Sunday, come be with the Lord's people. It's not about being in a building. It's about being with the people of God. You're joining in with the temple of God in worship. So I want to encourage you. I understand there's vacation and people are sick and there's times away. But if you are able, do not let anything get in the way of coming to worship. It's too important. The devil doesn't want you here. And he's going to battle each week to let you have every excuse in the world not to be here. But make it a priority to be here for an hour, 15, 20 minutes of worship each Sunday morning. We encourage you to make that a priority. Because if it's Sunday, it's time for worship. So 1 hour of worship, that's one. Number two, 1 hour of community. 1 hour of community. 1 hour of community, biblical community. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. None of us can do Christianity alone. We need encouragement. We need accountability. We need to know other people, and we need to be known by other people. And that's why we gather big, and that's why we gather small. So we want to encourage you. An hour of community, what do we mean by that? Be a part of a small group or a Sunday school class. Be a part of a small group or a Sunday school class. So an hour of worship, an hour of Sunday school, or a small group where you can know others and be known, and you can carry each other's burdens together. And lastly, an hour of service. Number three, worship, an hour of worship, an hour of community, and lastly, an hour of service. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. If you are a member of Temple Baptist Church, then God has uniquely gifted you to serve our church. Uniquely you. If you don't serve in our church and you are a member, then that means the whole body is hurting because you are withholding your gift that we desperately need. If every one of our members would give 1 hour of serving in the local church, we would never, ever have to run another thing in the bulletin that says, need more kids workers. Can you imagine a church where we had so many volunteers that we almost had too many? Because that's the church who takes membership seriously. Membership comes with an hour of worship, an hour of community, and an hour serving the body of Christ. So what does that look like? I mean, that's 3 hours, and if we're honest and we round that up, and that's 4 hours a week. So 4 hours a week we're asking for you to be an involved member. 4 out of 168. 4 hours out of 168 for the most important thing in the world. A lot of things take our time, and we give it freely. But 4 hours to be an involved member. 4 out of 168. But this is a problem all across the church in America. And I want to show you how that's illustrated in that book by Chuck Lawless. I would like to show you a chart that is going to be up here, a 2x2 chart that you'll see there. And in this chart, you'll see 4 squares. You have involvement at the top and attender and member on the side. In that bottom left box, you'll see these are the people who are uninvolved attenders. These are people who just attend worship occasionally. And if that's you this morning, we're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. Uninvolved, but you attend. Okay? Then we also have people who are involved attenders. They're not members, but they maybe go to a Sunday school class. They come to different things throughout the week. They're involved attenders. Then in the top left, you'll have uninvolved members. Uninvolved members. These are people who are on the church roll but don't function by coming to an hour of worship, an hour of service, and an hour of community. They're not really involved. They're just on the roll. It is our goal as pastors to present everyone mature in Christ, and therefore our goal is, no matter what box you are in, to get you into that black box that says involved member. 1 hour of worship, 1 hour of community, and 1 hour of service. It is our goal that every member of the church be moved into that black box. Every attender that comes into our midst, our goal is to get everyone involved through 1 hour of worship, 1 hour of community, and 1 hour of service. And if you will do that, I'm telling you, your life will change because you are an involved member. So this morning, what would a church look like where membership meant more than just being on a church roll? It would understand the importance of church membership. It wouldn't devalue it. It would have a healthy attitude. It would be filled with contributors and not just consumers. It would prioritize people over preferences in a way that the love of Temple Baptist Church for one another would become legendary in our community. And every member would be an involved member. Sunday morning worship wouldn't be optional, but the highlight of your family's week. Sunday school small group wouldn't just be something you attended. It was a family you would be a part of. And serving in the church wouldn't be a burden, because you knew it was what you were made for. So what if membership meant more than just being on a church roll? What if it did mean more than just being on a church roll and having our name listed? I think it would bring a smile to our face, because our Father has purchased a membership for us in His church. But this time it didn't come at a discounted price because we were over in the next county over. It came at the cost of the life of His own Son. You see, your membership was costly, but your Father was happy to pay. You see, your membership in the local church is bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And it comes with privileges. Not the privileges of an entitlement country club mentality, but the privileges of the kingdom of God. that we get to follow in the footsteps of our Savior, putting others before ourselves. Why? Because we are members of His body, the church, and we get to follow Christ wherever He leads. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. If you're not a member of our church, we would love to talk more about what that means with you. If you are someone who needs to take the next step in your membership and get plugged into a Sunday school class or small group, we'd love to help make that happen. If you would like to ask more questions about membership, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to get you signed up for our next membership class. And maybe if you need a place to serve, we'd love to help you find that. But our goal is, at Temple, membership means a whole lot more than just being on a roll. It actually means being part of a family.
This concludes a message from Temple Baptist Church. For more information about Temple, or becoming a member, or just visiting for the first time, visit our website at tbcgainesville.org.